We are back with more of Lake Effect from East Tosa. I'm Mitch Tyke.
And I am Bonnie North. We are coming to you from Birch on North Avenue. Our next guests are based just a few blocks southwest of here on Wauwatosa Avenue. A little different music than what we just heard.
Jeff Kazak is the archivist with Award Irish Music Archives. Barry Stapleton is the director. Thanks so much to both of you for being here.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us.
Well, this is a really basic question.
Yes.
Yes, by all means, applaud.
Yes. A basic question for those who don't know, what are the Ward Irish Music Archives and why are they here in Tosa?
Well, the Ward Irish Music Archives is one of the educational arms out of Milwaukee Irish Fest, which is celebrating 39 years this year. And with all of the, it actually happened in Ireland when Ed Ward was looking for talent in Ireland to play the festival. The Irish Traditional Music Archives in Dublin had just opened up, and Ed thought he'd stop in and see what they were doing. And he was waiting in a little room in a library, and Ed went to pick out a book, and he actually picked out a book that was written by his grandfather. And so that was his inspirational moment, and he came back and asked the board, if they're doing that in Ireland, who is doing that in America? He asked the Board of Irish Fest to support the archives, the Ward Irish Music Archives, and that was the beginning, 1992.
So where did the first items come from?
Well, with the success of the festival in the early years, especially in the 80s, we were growing rapidly, and at that time, it was pre-CDs, so we were getting PR kits from bands, and at one point, we were getting 500 PR kits a year. Just for the success of the festival. So that core collection is still our core collection. It grows every year. Although the difference now, instead of a LP, I get an email from a band saying we're the best Irish band ever. Check out our website. And so now it's more of a digital collection versus the hard copy.
Who are the archives here for? Who uses them?
The archives are kind of here for the public in general that has any kind of interest in Irish or Celtic-related music. So we've had, student groups come in to take a tour to kind of take a look at the material. We also have Irish musicians that will do research. And actually, we have some kind of genealogical ties where people know that their families has Irish musicians or some sort of Irish music tie in their family, and they'll reach out to us and we'll see how we can help them.
There's also a lot of historical stuff that's come up from Chicago. I know you have wax cylinders, so things that go back 100 years or more.
Yeah, absolutely. We have the Dunn Family Collection, which has within it 32 wax cylinder recordings, recorded by Francis O'Neill of Chicago, who's a brilliant Irish music collector, rose to be captain of the police department down in Chicago in the early 1900s. And they're field recordings of traditional musicians from Chicago. And they came up to an Irish musician that emigrated to Milwaukee in the 1870s named Michael J. Dunn. And he kept that material after some of the musicians in Chicago had passed away. And they stayed in an attic in South Milwaukee for 80 years. And the family found them one day as they're clearing out the house looking for their grandfather's firefighter uniform. Michael J. Dunn was a firefighter on the Milwaukee firefighter force, and brought them to the archives. And the rest is history. We worked with the Library of Congress to digitize those cylinders and then made them available on a website and also a CD project.
So you can hear them if you go to the website.
Yeah.
You can actually hear those.
You can go to wardirishmusicarchives.com and listen to all those cylinders.
Well, and so talk about your work as an archivist. What goes on in a typical day at the archives, and what does your work involve?
Those of us in the archives profession have a favorite phrase, which is, it depends. Depends on the day. But mostly, I've been working on a lot of cataloging, so it's kind of almost a traditional library role, but we also work on digitization projects, digitizing sound recordings and video recordings. We've worked on a couple of major digital collections like the Irish Sheet Music Archives, where we've made public domain sheet music available as well. So it's a lot of working with analog recordings and moving into the digital domain.
So you talk about sheet music. Do you lend things out? Is it kind of like a lending library? Do you require people to come and use it there?
No, we don't lend things out. So basically what we're trying to do, as Jeff mentioned, we're trying to digitize as much as we can so that it's basically a virtual library. So obviously we live within copyright, so we have to live within those laws. But we hope that we can get our materials to students in Ireland that are studying music, Sweden, Africa, Australia, wherever. And so it's more virtual. We do have people come in and do some research, but it's more online that we're trying to get all of our collections onto.
Yeah, you're digitizing most of this stuff, but you know, it sounds like you still have a lot of it in your possession. Museums and institutions much larger than yours have challenges adequately storing and preserving their collection. What are the ways that you address that issue? Like, how do you keep wax cylinders safe, for example?
Right, it's a challenge. So, especially we're in a historic building in Wauwatosa as well, so we kind of double down on our housing and try to get those in protective, archivally safe housing, and store them within temperature and humidity parameters to keep the artifacts safe. And we do the digitization to provide access and ability for people to actually either view or listen to this material so we don't have to damage the rarer material by repeatedly playing it or making it physically available.
Digitization is basically the best thing you can do for preservation. So that's amazing. And we actually hired two more employees because we got a $50,000 grant from Ireland to digitize the collection. And so that money is all going towards the collections and getting everything online.
Is there a benefit to being in a town like Wauwatosa rather than, say, being in Chicago? I mean, I think a lot of people might think something like this, this important to the history of both countries, of the Irish here in America, would be somewhere bigger.
I think you're right as far as expectations. We're fine being right where we are. We love Wauwatosa. We're kind of entrenched in the community here with Irish Fest. In Tosa tonight, we have a Irish night there. So our roots are here. And once again, it's more virtual, more digitization that we're dealing with. It wouldn't matter, quite frankly, where you are. Quite frankly, a couple of our major collections are from Chicago because they know that we're dealing with those collections in a professional way versus giving it to another institution where it might just sit in a corner and not be dealt with.
When it comes to collecting the material, are you selective or, I mean, literally you're saying you get emails from people saying we're the greatest band in the country, download our songs. I mean, is it as simple as that, or is there stuff that you just can't take?
Yeah, there are things you can't take. Like, we try to be selective with our mission and collecting policies. So our mission is really to collect Irish music and Irish music in America. So we have some sort of clear defined parameters. That way it will kind of give us leeway to say yes or no to any given material. And we're kind of collecting material outside of genre. So we're looking at, you know, American popular music that has roots from Irish ancestry.
Like YouTube bootlegs.
YouTube bootlegs. If you have them around, it's great. Thin Lizzy, which a lot of people don't realize is actually an Irish band. Yeah. But also, you know, the traditional musicians, everyone from Michael Coleman up to Dedan and Lunasa, all the current bands.
I think one of the things that I learned in doing a lot of interviews around Irish Fest time is that so much of the music that came here with the Irish immigrants actually went back to Ireland. They had lost it there. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yes. In America, we were the go-to place, and Germany a little bit, with the music industry, the early music industry. Ireland was a very poor country. A lot of rural areas in Ireland didn't even get electricity until the 1950s, 1960s. And then if they got it, they would take it to the barn because the animals were the main source of their income. So there was not much of a music industry in Ireland. And so when the records were made here, then the records were sent back to Ireland in packages. And so one of the issues, Michael Coleman is probably the most prolific fiddler in history. And one of the problems, the good thing and the bad thing with Michael Coleman is that he was great and he recorded a lot of sides. But then when he sent all the records back, everybody said, now all the Irish fiddlers sound like Michael Coleman because they were listening to his records. Yes, that is true. It's true with many areas of Irish music.
Well, we want to thank you both for stopping by and telling us a little bit about it. The community can come and visit, is that correct?
Yep, absolutely. We're in the building Mondays through Fridays, normal hours, and if people want to make arrangements or make an appointment to come view or tour the collections, they can give us a call or drop us an email.
Terrific.
Jeff Kazak is the archivist for the Ward Irish Music Archives. Barry Stapleton is the director. The archives are located here in East Tosa on Wauwatosa Avenue. Thanks to both of you again.
Thank you.
Thank you much.
Thank you very much.